Well, good to see you tonight. I didn't expect to be here preaching tonight. And Brother Joey called in yesterday and asked Phyllis to see if I could preach. I said, well, I'll dust off an old one and preach tonight. I happen to have 2,000 or 3,000 of them around, stuck around here or there. Since they're putting me on, I got plenty of time to preach, so just forget you watch tonight. Since I got plenty of time, I'll just take my time. But I have been busy ever since I retired. I guess pretty close to 3/4 of time on Sunday morning I've been preaching. I'm writing the book on the history of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I've written all of the pastors prior to me, and I'm in the process of writing about my ministry here. So I'm up to 1974 in writing about my ministry, so I've still got a long way to go. But I was going to study all day today, for I've got to be up in Pelham, Virginia to a Sunday school conference, preach tomorrow night twice, and then speak twice on Friday night. But Brother Jody's his health condition, but let's do pray for him. God will touch him. And he was here tonight, as you know, and had to go back home. Got feeling a little weak, so let's do pray for Brother Jody. But it is good to be here, Brother Jody called in and asked see if I'd preach, I told him I'd dust off an old one, and I started looking at sermons. I've got them stuck everywhere, the office over here and all up there in the office and two rooms there. But the second I looked at, I believe the Lord would have me to preach on why God used Elisha. Why God used Elisha. And turn to 2 Kings, the second chapter. I better turn this thing on, I guess it might work better. 2 Kings chapter 2. Page 422, I'm going to say it again. Old Schofield King James Version. He's hoping I'd get there. Let's just wait out, I'm going to get there. 2 Kings chapter 2. I wasn't going to read the first part. I'm going to read it all since we're not rushed for time tonight. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? That's real wonderful news they were greeting him with. And where was I? Verse 3. And he said, yeah, keep your trap shut. I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, that wasn't in the King James Version. Now, that was in the Textus Receptus. That was in the original. And Elisha said to him, Elisha, tarry here. Verse 4. Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now, he did say it there now. So it wasn't shut your trap, but same. In the original, it could be translated either way there in the original. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. You believe that, preacher? I sure do. I sure do. The Bible believes it, teaches it, reads it, that I believe it. Or I understand it not. That's the way to approach the Word of God. Just believe it, because it's true anyway. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, or I believe it. So it went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah. What a breathtaking time this is. This is always a blessing here. It's a great moment of faith. And that fell from him, the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? It's a great statement of faith in Elijah's God. And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over, and the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, and they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before. Let's pray, and then we'll look at some reasons why God used Elisha here tonight. Father, we thank you for this privilege of one more time, Lord, coming to the house of God. And Lord, I thank you for this privilege of one more time standing behind this pulpit. Lord, what an honor it is to stand and preach the Word of God, the very Word of God. What an awesome privilege. Lord, I feel a great sense always, Lord, when I stand to preach that, Lord, if you don't help me, certainly everything be in vain. And I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me and help me tonight. And Lord, I want to be used of thee to glorify your name and encourage people to serve the living God. So have your way in this service. And Lord, we do pray for Brother Jody. God, would you touch him? Lord, you heal. And we don't know what's going on there medically, Lord, but you do. You know all about it. And would you touch his body? And Lord, make it so that he can preach Sunday. Would you do that? If it be your will, restore him to his health. And then, Lord, bless the church. Bless everyone here tonight. Meet needs and strengthen our faith. And help us to, Lord, have a desire to be used of God, whatever it is, and whatever way he wants to use us, to be used of God. To do his precious will and serve him till Jesus calls us home. Have your way, Lord. Now help me tonight. I can't preach without your help. I confess it before these people and before thee. And touch me and touch the people. Touch your word tonight. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I don't need to describe that scene. I read it in detail. But Elijah was one of the most outstanding characters in the Bible. He had a ministry that was owned and blessed of God. God's mighty power was upon him. And he's one of my favorite men in the Old Testament. I preached on, while I was here, on most of the major characters in the Old Testament. And Elijah was one of my favorite characters to preach on. He's such a striking character. But now, God's power was upon Elijah. Mighty power was upon Elijah. But now Elijah was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire, in a whirlwind. And someone has to take his place. The work of God must be carried on from generation to generation. We've seen that here. I had my day, 46 years and 4 months here. And we move on to another generation's come on. And the mantle of power is shifted here in 2 Kings 2, from Swift's, the mantle of power shifted swiftly from Elijah to his faithful assistant Elisha. And whereas God has used Elijah in the past, now he's going to use Elisha. And the Lord has used me in a little way in the past, and now I'm sure that he's going to use Brother Jody. And he's going to use him in a great way, I'm sure. And it was no accident that God used Elisha. Now, folks, if you're going to be used of God, it won't be by accident. It won't be by accident. And I want us to look at tonight at some reasons that God used Elisha. Now, first of all, he made much of the house of God. Look at verse 2. Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And then go down to verse 23. We see Bethel used again. "And he went up from thence unto Bethel." Now, the word Bethel means house of God. House of God. So twice in this chapter, we see Elisha going to the house of God. And I've never seen God use a person very much who wasn't faithful. I mean faithful to the house of God. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every revival service. I've never seen God use somebody just wanders into the house of God every now and then. He usually uses those that love his house and make much of the house of God. And the church, now folks, the reason you ought to be faithful to the church is the only organization in this world that was directly founded and is being built by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why you ought to be here every time. This is the only place in Gray that has been organized except for other Bible-believing churches that's founded and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people are right. You know, they're writing off the church. The liberals are writing off the church today. And I'll have to admit, the church has lost its power all across this country. But they're saying the church is outmoded and out of step. And church is going down. No, the church is not going down. It's going up. The church is going up. They're saying it's a failure. That couldn't be farther from the truth to say the church has failed. Now, there's some good churches across America. And I know that compromise is set in and churches are slipping into all this contemporary junk and all that contemporary music, I've called it birdbath music, but it's worse than that. I believe it's the music of the Antichrist Church, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, the Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will be," Jesus said, "I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Folks, listen. Things don't look good today, but I'll tell you what. The Lord's still building his church across this country and around the world. He's doing it. And the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of truth. Now, the pillar and ground of truth, folks, now get this. The pillar and ground of truth is not the television evangelist and his program. It's not the Christian college or seminaries. The pillar and ground of truth is, as much as I love the sword of the Lord, it's not the sword of the Lord. The pillar and ground of truth today is a church of the living God. And in writing to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3:21, Paul said, "Unto him be glory," where? Unto him be glory, where? Where does it say, where does it say to unto him be glory? In the church. Unto him be glory. Not in the club, not in the organization, not even in the school, not even in the Christian school. But unto him be glory in the church. The church. And so, and by the way, when the Bible uses the word church, it usually refers to the local church. Now, it does refer to the church of those written in heaven, the firstborn. But usually, about 95 to 98% of the time, it's the local church. So your club or organization or public school or Christian school, it may be a good thing. I'm not saying it's not. But if you allow it that club or Christian school or organization or whatever you belong to, if you allow it to come before your obligations to the church, you're doing wrong in the sight of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. More and more, we ought to go to the house of God. And down through the years, when I have seen people start laying out of church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I know that it's the first step of backsliding. And it grieves a pastor, and it grieves the people of God when they see people start. And listen, when people start laying out of church, folks, you know what happens? Disaster awaits them. The worst thing you can do is start dropping out of church. And because it'll lead to spiritual disaster. Well, I better get off that. That's the first thing. But God used Elisha because he made much of God's house. And if you want to be used of God, you too must be faithful to the house of God. Then a second thing. I've got plenty of time tonight, so Bob didn't have about 15 minutes preliminary, so I'm not going to worry about getting through. We'll get you out before midnight sometime. But anyway, the second reason he used Elisha, because he believed that the Lord lives. In verse 2, look at verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth. And then in verse 4, as the Lord, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And as he said, as the Lord liveth. Down in verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth. As the Lord liveth. So Elisha believed that he served a God that wasn't dead, but is a living God, and he's alive forevermore. So folks, you need to realize we serve a God that's alive forevermore. And what about you tonight? Now, listen, you ought to be gripped with a firm conviction that your God lives. And he's on the throne. And it's all going to ultimately end according to the will of God and the plan and purpose of God. He's sovereign. The God that lives is sovereign. It was my privilege to hear Dr. Dallas Billington speak up in Bristol a number of years ago now, and also go out to lunch with him. And this uneducated preacher from Kentucky, he went up to Akron, Ohio, and built without an education, but just had God on his side. And he built the largest church in the world at that time in Akron, Ohio, the largest church in the world. And he's certainly been with the Lord a long time. And one time he was asked the reason for the success of the Akron Baptist Temple, and he said, God is real. God is real. And we need the reality of a living God in our churches. We need to know this is more than just a bunch of theories and going through the motions and the ritual, folks, but God is real. You know, I like to be around when God shows up in the church. I'm telling you, you ought to have been with me up in revival up in Abingdon. On the last night of the service, I preached and I felt God all in the service. And we had books, going to give away books that night and everything. And I got up and I said, folks, I don't feel like giving away books. I feel like preaching. And I preached. And there's a man sitting right over here, my left, in the service. And he raised his hand for prayer. He was unsaved. And as soon as I gave the invitation, I said, this looked over to him. And I said, son, why don't you come on down and get saved tonight? The man got up. And well, he was a son. He's 30-something years old. And he got up and come down, and a man took him around behind me right back there in the room, and I could hear him back there, and prayed with him, and all of a sudden that man started shouting back there. And he brought him out, and as soon as he brought him out, there's 15 or 20 people started shouting in that church. You know why? It was the organist's husband they'd been praying for years to get saved. They all knew him, and I'm telling you, we had a meeting that night. God showed up. I like to be around when God shows up. Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And so God used Elisha because he had the firm conviction that the Lord lives. Then a third reason. I didn't even take my watch off. Well, I got a watch here now. By the way, they put a watch up in front of me here. Yeah. I've never had that up here myself now. I'd yank that thing out and put it under here. But anyway. Okay, the third reason that God used Elijah, he would not quit. He would not quit. In verse 2 and in verse 4 and verse 6, three times Elijah said, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth." Elijah said, "Why don't you just remain here?" And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he knew that his master was going to be taken away from him, and he knew that his place was right beside Elijah to the very end. And brother, you can't do anything with a man or a woman that won't quit, that just will not quit. Old Dr. Bob Jones used to cup his hand and say, he said, "God hates a quitter. God hates a quitter." And listen, you're not supposed to hate anyone, I know, but I almost hate a quitter or a compromiser. And a quitter will fall by the wayside when the going gets rough and will quit before victory comes. And I remember a while back, a few years ago, one of our superintendents told me she was about ready to quit. And I stood up here and preached on don't quit. I don't remember where I picked. I don't think I picked her out to preach on that because of that. But I never did get up and use a pulpit to just preach to people and pick out people and preach to them. But anyway, I said don't quit. And when I said that from the pulpit, God used that to keep her doing a job for God. You know, 60 years ago, this coming August, I went down to I've told you about this before. Went down to the state of Mississippi. Play college football. Folks, you don't know how green I was when I went off to college to play football. You know, I thought men, real men, didn't use deodorant. I'm here to tell you, I didn't. My mama would always have little Mum. Remember Mum? And Daddy didn't use it because he took a bath at the mines before he come home every day. But I just sort of had the idea that was feminine, anyway, when I was green as a gourd going down to Mississippi to play football, and I went down in the month of August. We had 2 weeks of preseason practice, and it was 95 to 102 about every day, and I'll tell you, that's the closest thing to the place where the booger man lives that I've ever experienced, and it was under the pads now. It was about 100 and probably 120, 125 under those pads. Now, today I can't even hardly walk out on the football field 100 degree weather, but I used to play under them and have all those pads on. It was, but anyway, we had blocking drills and tackling drills and sprints and beating up against each other day after day for 2 weeks. And in all that 100 degree weather and all that grind, brother, I wanted to come back home to Soggy, Tennessee so bad I could taste it. But you know why I didn't quit and go back to Soggy, Tennessee? I didn't want to go home a quitter. I just didn't want to go home a quitter. And I stayed with it and made a few all-star teams and got to play in 2 bowl games. And if I'd have been a quitter, I would never got to do that. I remember one time I was standing right outside. We didn't have this auditorium, man. Is that right after we moved up to the chapel, which is our auditorium right over there. And we had gone through, we had gone through it to move up here. My life's threatened, and threatened to run me off, and Brother Al Silver, our song leader, threatened to run him off. But we got up here. We made it up here. And one day, Al and I were standing right out there on that little porch on the side. And Al said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm going to quit." He just couldn't take it. And I said, "Al, listen. Don't quit for, don't quit for about a year. And when things get in better shape, find that we'll just both quit." That's what I said, folks, after I was here up here. I don't know how long ago that been. That'd been 44 years ago. And so now we were running about 125, 30 in Sunday school, less than $1,000 in offering when Al and I stood out there and talked. Now just think. I said, Al, we'll quit, both quit in a year. Now if I'd have quit in a year like I said we would, and started to quit, and I wanted to quit. I really did. They'd threatened my life and sent the fire engine to my house at midnight. All those nice things, you know. And that wasn't too nice of them, was it? But if I'd have quit, we may have not been sitting in this beautiful auditorium tonight. We might not have been sitting. And whereas we run 125 in Sunday school, we got up to running 600-750 average. And where we're running less than $1,000 a week, now we're, right to be $50,000 a year, now we're running $1 million in offering. So, and I don't believe God would have blessed me if I had to run out on this church and run out on the will of God just because things were going and getting rough. So the thing I want to make here is don't be a quitter. Wait on God. Don't move till God leads you. Don't give up. Just keep on serving Jesus until he calls you home. And God used Elisha because he wasn't a quitter. Fourth reason why. But anyway, the fourth reason that God used Elisha, he ran with the right crowd. Look at verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Now get the picture. There's 50 members of the ministerial assassination standing over here, viewing afar off, it says. And then there is God's uncompromising, fearless prophet, Elijah. Now, what crowd did Elisha choose to get with? Brother, Elisha chose to be by the side of the fundamentalist Elijah. And he didn't run with that spineless, fearful, compromising new evangelical crowd. And so never, listen. This is a great truth that we all need to never forget the rest of our days on this earth. We need never forget you're known by the company you keep. Let me say that again. You're known by the company you keep. That old saying is true. If you lie down with the dogs, you're going to get up with the fleas. And that's true. So watch your company. It'll tell a lot about you. Show me a man's friends, and I'll tell you what kind of person he is. Young people, when you run around with the wrong kind of friends at school, they know what you are. They know what you are. So Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them in Matthew 7:20. And I say, by their friends ye shall know them. Elisha was used of God because he ran with the right crowd. And brother, my crowd is a fundamental, separated, Bible-believing, independent Baptist, premillennial King James Version crowd. That's my crowd. And I believe that's a crowd that's going God's way. Then another reason that God used Elisha. And folks, these things apply to me and you today too. You know, man, you start acting a little like Elisha, and God will bless you. And I want to emphasize, Brother Jody, I wish Brother Jody's here. I wanted to hear this, what I was going to say now. Another reason God used Elisha was he followed God's man. He followed God's man. And by the way, you get out of line every time when you don't follow God's man. Now, God's man may not always be right, but he's still God's man and God's leader. And he'll bless you more. He'll bless the leader of a local church more when he's wrong than he will you when you're right, when you don't follow God's man. So unless a man goes off morally or off doctrinally, you ought to follow him. Not just cause of the little picky things you don't agree with him on. But I don't believe God would have ever used Elisha if he had not followed faithfully God's man Elijah. I don't believe he would have. He received a double portion of the Spirit of God because he did what? He followed Elisha, followed faithfully Elijah until he saw him translated to heaven. And the double anointing of the Spirit of God fell upon him because he kept close to Elijah, followed God's man, kept his eyes on God's leader. Dr. Ron Comfort, as you know, is one of my favorite preachers. And I think one of the finest church evangelists in America. I remember him saying, he used to be a member of a church in Anderson, Indiana. And I know the pastor, he's a good man. And Dr. Comfort said, I'm a member of Grace Baptist Church, Anderson, Indiana. And he said, I'm in submission to the spiritual leadership of my pastor. Now folks, you ought to be in submission to the spiritual leadership of your pastor. Dr. Ron Comfort, evangelist, said, I'm in submission to the spiritual leadership of my pastor. And he said, I don't make any decision in my ministry until I go in and talk to the pastor and ask him, does he think I'm going in the right direction? The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul is saying, don't be afraid to follow God's man as he tries to lead you to follow the Lord. Now, if Brother Jody is going to try his best to lead you as the Lord leads him. Now, but naturally, being a human being, every now and then, any pastor will miss it a little bit every now and then. But you ought to follow God's man. Follow the preacher. And God will bless you. And Elisha was used of the Lord because he followed God's man. Then another reason. Now, I'm getting closer to being through, so just wait just a few more minutes. About another 30 minutes and I'll be through. But another reason why God used Elisha, he wanted the Lord to use him. Look at verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So Elisha had for many years been a faithful helper and assistant to God's great man, the prophet Elijah. Wouldn't it have been a wonderful experience to be us, to just follow Elijah and just to be a helper of Elijah? And he wanted God to use him even in a greater way than God used Elijah. And you know what God did? Elijah performed 7 major miracles. And you can count them, but the Lord used Elisha to perform, you know how many? 14 miracles. And I believe God used Elisha because he had a deep hunger and a drive to be used of God. Now, I have 2 great desires in my life. The first one, I want to walk with the Lord and enjoy his sweet presence. Now, you're not worth shooting at sunrise, folks, who don't, first of all, desire to walk with the Lord. And you know, I'm not all I should be. I have a lot of faults and failures, but I have got up here every morning while I was your pastor, unless I went fox hunting tonight and didn't get in at 12, 1 o'clock, and then I slept a little late. But usually, I come over here and get in that room right there, close the door, nobody get to me, except when I start using a cell phone. Usually, nobody get into me. They'd have to come up and beat on the door out there if they wanted me. But I got in the practice, back when I was 15 years old, of reading the Bible through every year, 2 or 3 or 4 chapters a day. And you know, one of the greatest things, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to walk with God and feel his presence. Just every day, just try to live right. Get saved. Try to live right. Just try to live right. You're not going to be perfect. And I'm glad we don't have to be perfect to be blessed of God. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad of that. Lord never bless me if it took perfection, or you either, by the way. But I'm glad if we have a heart for God. So, Lord, I fail you so many times, but Lord, I do want to please you, and I do. do want to do your will. And Lord, I just want you to bless my life. And I want to just walk with you and do your will. Help me to please you. Just have a heart for God. And the Lord, boy, I'll tell you what, if you'll have a heart for God, all those faults and failures, God will work around them and keep blessing you mightily. If you'll just keep having a heart for God. So that's the first thing that I want. I believe many of you want the same thing. You want to just walk with the Lord. Let me find out where I am now. My two great desires. First, walk with the Lord and know his word. Then, a second thing, I want the Lord to continue to use me. He used me a little bit while I was past here 46 years, and he used me a little bit now. And I want him to use me just in a little way the rest of my days on this earth. I want his presence, and I want him to use me. Those two things. And you ought to want those two things in your life tonight. You ought to want the presence of the Lord in your life. And folks, you can't have the presence of the Lord unless you get in the Word and live a holy life, get saved, live a holy life, or try to live right. You have a heart to live right and a heart to please God. And get in that Word every day. Hey, you can come. I've still got plenty of time. It's not time to leave yet. You can come to this altar and rededicate yourself in every service. But if you neglect the Word of God, come to this altar is not worth 5 cents. Now, I like to see people come to this altar and rededicate and help to. If God, and I always got into the altar when the Lord spoke to me. But you can't neglect the Word of God. It's the breath of God. It's upon the Word. So get in that book every day, folks. Get in that book every day. Every day. Every day. Read it through every year. Start it. Generations, the old preacher said, and read it through the revolutions every year. And God will bless you. I've just been doing it. I'm not a great Bible scholar, but I've just been reading it through every year. And anybody can do that. You don't have to be too smart. It doesn't take a lot of time. Just you have to have a heart for God. And just get in. It's just 2 or 3 or 4 chapters a day. And you read through the Bible in a year, every year. Now you do that. Everybody sitting here can do that. You ought to do it. It's still not 8 o'clock yet, so I'm getting there. But I hadn't got to preach to you in a long time, so I'm getting caught up a little bit here now. Let me just move on quick to the last point here. Another reason why God used Elisha, he had the same spirit upon him that Elijah did. In verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and smacked the waters of the Jordan. And God's power held the waters back. And they were allowed to walk over on dry ground. But look down to verse 14, folks. The same thing now, that same spirit is on Elisha. And he, Elisha, verse 14, took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. Now, did he get the double portion of the power of the Spirit of God that was upon Elijah? And said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. He got the double portion of the Spirit of God. And the waters said, "Goodness gracious, let's get out of the way. We've got another Elijah on our hands here." And the 50 prophets said in verse 15, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah." That's a great thing. Just to have a touch of God every now and then in your life. Let the Lord use you. And in this first, folks, listen, in this 21st century, we need the spirit of Elijah's God to rest upon us if we're going to be used of God. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now let me ask you this. Are you hungry for God tonight? I believe in this crowd we got people hungry for God. I know you well, and I believe that there's some here have a heart for God and hunger for God. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now I have a son sitting here tonight, and if he's sound asleep, but I've got a grandson and a granddaughter in this place. But listen, any need my children or grandchildren have, I don't care what it is, if I could help them, I'd make any sacrifice for my children and grandchildren. Now, folks, I'm only able to do so much as a human being like you are. But God says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, Jesus said, give the Holy Spirit to them that just ask him? Hey, you can do that, can't you? Just ask him. Now, do you want God to use you this evening? He can if you want to say, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Just don't bypass me. Lord, take my life and use me for your glory. Now, I told Brother Bob, let's stand and sing tonight, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Let's stand and let's have a word of prayer. Let's stand and have a word of prayer before we sing this. I'm just going to give a quick invitation. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you say, Preacher, I'm hungry for a touch of God on my life. And I want to please the Lord, and I want to walk with the Lord, and I want the presence of God in my life, and I want to be touched of God, and I want the Spirit of God to rest on my life. Now, I know you've come to this altar many times, but if the Lord wants you to come tonight with that hunger in your heart, let's just come for, and we're going to sing, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, hear my humble prayer. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I don't want the Lord to pass me by, do you? I don't want him to pass me by. Let's just, you that tonight feel a desire to have a new touch from God, and yet you desire that, just slip to the altar right now, and as we sing a verse or two, and Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, come right up. Let's sing one more verse. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's do pray for Brother Jody. Brother Joe Taylor, would you pray, and let's do pray that God will touch Brother Jody. Give us great services here Sunday. Pray for me as I'm up in Pound, Virginia at Sunday School Conference tomorrow night, 2 services, and then Friday, 2 services. Brother Jody, dismiss us in prayer.
Again, the bus captains, the bus meeting will be in business license class. If you have paid for the church picnic, please pick up your envelope in the back.